Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 1, and then verses 5 to 9. Moses spoke to the people and said, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and the decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Therefore, I teach you the statutes and decrees as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.'" Brothers and sisters, the United States of America calls ourselves one nation under God. Are we? If its people obey the Ten Commandments, yes, we are. Or striving to obey them, yes, we are. Are we? God gave us the commandments. Observe them carefully, for thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations. Is that what we're giving to other nations? For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today? We can take those words to ourselves. However, take care and be earnestly on your guard not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your children's children. We've got to be very creative these days. God's word, God's truth, God's commandments are not the in thing these days. Doesn't matter. It's not in God's world. Do we know the commandments? Do we live by them? Do we repent when we fail? Maybe this latter part of Lent, maybe this is the time we're at least in close to the middle of Lent. Maybe for a week or so you should take a look at the Ten Commandments and see where you honestly are. The gospel is this, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least, notice that, one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Do we think, oh yeah, Ten Commandments, yeah, I remember memorizing them as a child. I don't know if I remember them. What place do the Ten Commandments have in your life? Let's take a look at what St. John Paul taught us about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments disclose to us the only authentically human future. And this is because they are not the arbitrary imposition of a tyrannical God, no matter what the world tells you. These commandments are not from a tyrannical God. John Paul says, "Yahweh wrote them in stone, but above all, he inscribed them in every human heart as the universal moral law, valid and current in every time and in every place. This law prevents egoism, hatred, falsehood, and contempt from destroying the human person. By constantly recalling the divine covenant, The Ten Commandments emphasize that the Lord is our only God and that any other divinity is false and ultimately enslaves the human being, leading him to degrade his human dignity. This is wisdom, brothers and sisters. Heed it. Hear, O Israel. He's quoting now Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them to your children. These words, we read them today, these words which devout Jews repeat each day also echo in the heart of every Christian. Hear. John Paul has just one word with an exclamation point. Hear. These words which I command you shall be upon your heart. We cannot think of being faithful to God if we do not observe his law. Being faithful to God, moreover, means also being faithful to ourselves, that is, to our true nature, and to our deepest and irrepressible aspirations. Since the Word of God became incarnate and died on the cross for us, the Ten Commandments make themselves heard through his voice. He roots them through the new life of grace in the hearts of those who believe in him. Thus, Jesus' disciples do not feel oppressed by a multitude of prescriptions, but spurred by the power of love. See God's commandments as the law of freedom. I know it sounds paradoxical, but God's commandments are the law of freedom, the freedom to love through the internal action of the Spirit. What would it be like? It'd be like heaven if all of us operated out of love of God and hence love of neighbor. Oh, brothers and sisters, as always, it begins with you and me. Maybe you want to read through today the Ten Commandments. Read through them. And take the one that's causing you the most trouble and go before the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, let your will become my will. Let me identify with you. I don't know how to live this out. I don't know how to do it. Will you help me? You take that step. Pick up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you don't have one, check with the pastor in your parish where you can get one or go online. Get one. Read the explanation. Read the understanding. It will change your life. Maybe I should do programs on the Ten Commandments, but you need to do your homework first. We all need to be perhaps reacquainted with the Ten Commandments, all of them. Brothers and sisters, the Lord gave us the Ten Commandments so that we could become like him. Because as we obey those commandments, we take on more and more of his mind, his heart, and the Holy Spirit can take up his dwelling in us more and more fully. Someone once used the analogy that we can take people through our house, we love our home, and we take people through and we show them every room in the house we're so pleased with it. There's just one door we don't open. It's a closet, and it's kind of a closet where we throw everything that we don't quite know what to do with at this time. And the author went on to say that that closet in the life of the Christian is our sins. And instead of bringing them into the light before the Lord, saying, here's what needs repair, here's what needs refinishing, here's what needs to be discarded and something bought new in its place. Instead of doing that, we showed the Lord our house. We show him, so to speak, every room of our house except this one closet where our sins are. And then Jesus walks up to us and he says, oh, what's in that room? I haven't been in that room. What do you say? What are you going to say? Doesn't mean you open the door and you everything falls pouring out. But it does mean you open the door and you let God see your life. You really let him see it. Here it is, Lord. All the difficulties, all the challenges, all the mistakes, all the sins, here it is. Will you help me? And I guarantee, if you do that, and you take that posture, and you live out of that posture, I guarantee that your life will change. And not just because you grow stronger, but because God becomes more present in your life. And you experience his inspiration, his leading, his love. You experience the joy and the hope of living with Jesus. That's what he has for you. This is not just a lot of rules and regulations and a checklist. Obey these and then you'll be okay. You'll pass. That's not it. It's God wanting to share himself, wanting to live life with us, wanting to walk with us, wanting to, in a certain sense, think with us, pray with us, act with us. He really does. This is not just a pious image. This is the reality, the grace of God, the power of God, the majesty of God becomes a small child in flesh and blood so that we wouldn't be afraid of him. He walked our walk. He knows what you deal with. Brothers and sisters, let this Lent be a Lent that marks your life. Let this be a Lent that changes you. Don't make all kinds of decisions. With all I'm saying, make one major decision, one major area to turn over to the Lord, one major area to begin to work with God's grace to change. Just one. But oftentimes what happens is, once that one piece is removed, the house that we've resurrected, so to speak, falls. And when it falls, God can rebuild his dwelling within us. And believe me, you'll be happier than you've ever, ever known. I do mean that. So I would urge you and encourage you. Again, go to our website, go to renewalministries.net. You can go to my radio program. You can go to the bookstore that we have online. See what would be helpful to you. See if you say, well, yeah, this is the area of my life. This is what's holding me down, holding me back, but I don't know what to do about it. Well, in the upcoming week, I'm going to give you some more resources. Next week, I'll be giving you more resources that can be helpful to you. But in the meantime, with God, identify where the problem is. Where's the kingpin, so to speak? Where's the hinge? And ask God to help you to bring it in the light. Ask God to give you the courage to really take an honest look at yourself and to see what it is that's imprisoning you, holding you back. Because he really wants you to know his love and his power and his grace and his mercy. May God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.